for the past 2 weeks, the Olympic Games in Paris have captured a lot of the media, a lot of attention around the world. Hundreds of, well, thousands of athletes, the best athletes in the whole world, are going to France and are competing there. I think the closing ceremony is on Sunday, so it's getting near the end. But there's been so much news about the different athletes and their experiences, good and bad, in the Olympics. And there's something quite stirring about these young men and women who have poured years of effort and training into preparing for this moment, and then maybe in just a few seconds or a few minutes, they either win or lose. I was fascinated by the story of the man who won the 100 meter sprint. Can't remember his name right now, but anyway, they get the fastest men in the world. They line them all up, shoot the gun, and then they all take off, and within 10 seconds, the race is over. And that particular race, the 100 meter sprint, was so close, they couldn't tell who the winner was. The winner won by 0.005 seconds. They had to check it on computers and digital cameras. Anyway, the man who won the gold medal, he started all off last. When they shot the starting gun, he was the last one to leave the starting blocks. And he was not in the lead at any time during the race. They said if it was a 99-meter race, he would have been in second place. But he just, at the very last second, surpassed everybody else and won the gold medal. And then after that, he was tested positive with COVID. And 2 days after that, he ran in the 200-meter race and he came in third. So even with COVID, he got the third best time in 200-meter sprint. So these are fascinating things that, you know, this man, like all the athletes in the Olympics, have trained for years and years to get to that point. Most of them don't win anything. You know that. Hundreds of athletes go home with no medals. The story of the Filipino pole vaulter, I think, has captured a lot of our attention. He came in fourth place. He's one of the best pole vaulters in the world. He's been at the top of the number one or number two for years. But when it came to the Olympics, he just couldn't win. And the man who won the gold medal broke the world record. So what can you do? Someone breaks the world record, he's the best ever. And the Filipino man, what's his name? EJ. Such a sad outcome. But the one who's captured everybody's attention, of course, is Carlos Yulo. Not only one gold medal, but two gold medals. I mean, that's a phenomenal thing. That's just an unheard of. It's very rare for anybody to win two gold medals at one Olympic Games. So Carlos Yulo has become the hero of the Philippines. I see his face and his name everywhere now, and people are lining up to give him things. After the first gold medal, he was going to be given a two-bedroom condo in Makati or EGC or someplace. But when he won the second one, they said, well, we'll give him a bigger one. A three-bedroom condo worth millions in a posh section of somewhere in Manila. And it's right that we honor people who achieve great heights. These are champions. And we know the story is not just that they're champions. The story is that for years they worked to get to that level. You don't start at the top of a mountain. You start at the bottom of a mountain and climb up. And you hope you can get to the top. Well, just because these athletes are capturing everybody's attention, I think it's a good place to start. But the champions of the spiritual life are the saints. And today we honor one of the great champions of the church, St. Lawrence, the deacon and martyr of the third century. St. Lawrence is one of the most popular champions. He's a gold medal winner. And we know that even though we're celebrating his feast day with great joy, and he's celebrating with great joy, he's like the gold medal winner on the podium. We know that he didn't just climb up on the podium and win the gold medal. He passed through an agonizing martyrdom. Let me read a little bit about St. Lawrence. You might know this story, but I'd like to read it since it's simpler and clearer when it's read this way. This is actually a legend, or the story that's handed down through the tradition about Lawrence. He was a deacon. Now, the Pope at that time, Pope Sixtus, he was martyred 4 days earlier, along with four other deacons. And Lawrence, he wasn't there, so he wasn't martyred. So he said, well, he knows what's going to happen, because that at that time of persecution, say during the Olympics, you know what's going to happen. Everybody's going to compete eventually. Here's what it says in this book. This is from a Saint of the Day book. As deacon in Rome, Lawrence was charged with the responsibility for the material goods of the church and the distribution of alms to the poor, which is kind of a description of what the deacons in the Bible were originally tasked to do, right? The deacons were responsible for the distribution of food to the widows. When Lawrence knew he would be arrested, like the Pope, he sought out the poor widows and orphans of Rome and gave them all the money he had on hand, selling even the sacred vessels to increase the sum. When the prefect of Rome heard of this, he imagined that the Christians must have considerable treasure. He sent for Lawrence and said, "You Christians say we are cruel to you, but that is not what I have in mind. I am told that your priests offer in gold, that the sacred blood is received in silver cups, that you have golden candlesticks at your evening services. Now, your doctrine says you must render to Caesar what is his. Bring these treasures. The emperor needs them to maintain his forces. God does not cause money to be counted. He brought none of it into the world with him, only words. Give me the money, therefore, and be rich in words." So that's the way a Roman prefect would think. Right? Just give me the money, do whatever you want with your words. Lawrence replied that the church was indeed rich. "I will show you a valuable part, but give me time to set everything in order and make an inventory." After 3 days, he gathered a great number of blind, lame, maimed, leprous, orphaned, and widowed persons and put them in rows. When the prefect arrived, Lawrence simply said, "These are the treasure of the church." The prefect was so angry that he told Lawrence that he would indeed have his wish to die, but it would be by inches. He had a great gridiron prepared with coals beneath it and had Lawrence's body placed on the gridiron. After the martyr had suffered the pain for a long time, the legend concludes, he made his famous cheerful remark, "It is well done. Turn it over and eat it." Okay, so that's Lawrence. He's a champion, yes, because of his service, yes, because of his gift of himself, yes, because of his martyrdom, but also because of his cheerful gift of himself in martyrdom. He was joking, even at the very end, the most painful moment of his martyrdom. Champion, a gold medal winner. The scriptures for today, for today's feast, chosen especially for the Feast of St. Lawrence, don't mention anything about being roasted on a gridiron or anything so graphic and brutal. The scriptures emphasize the importance of generosity, of cheerful giving, being gracious and giving to the poor, of participating in the, what John Paul II referred to as the law of the gift, participating in the way God does things. The way God does things is he gives and gives and gives, and he's happy to give. In today's gospel, Jesus says, "Where I am, there also will my servant be." Jesus describes himself as a grain of wheat that dies and therefore bears much fruit. And he says, okay, that's the style. That's the way to lose one's life, to make a gift of one's life in order to be fruitful, both for oneself and for the world, for the Lord. And if that's the way I'm going to do it, anyone who is my follower has to join me in this process. Where I am, there also will my servant be. The servant in this case is Lawrence, but we're extending it to apply to all of us. We are all the servants of the Lord, we're all the disciples of the Lord, and we, by saying yes, we will follow you, we're saying, Lord, we're going to be where you are. We're going to do what you do. We're going to love as you love. We're going to make a gift of ourselves as you make a gift of yourself. So our focus is not on the gridiron or the painful martyrdom. In fact, if you see the little picture of St. Lawrence on the song sheet here, he's got the fire in the background, and he himself is holding that gridiron there. But that's not the focus. He's looking up. He sees the angel holding the crown, like the old Olympics. They used to receive a crown of leaves to show that they were champions. Here's the crown given to the martyr, Lawrence. But the focus is not on the pain or on the loss. The focus is on the opportunity to make a gift, to be a cheerful giver, to recognize that it's a privilege to be able to give. That our focus is not on getting or on avoiding evil or avoiding suffering, but on being more and more like our Master. I noticed on the song sheet, one of the songs we're going to sing, I think, during the offertory, with a joyful heart. Very well chosen for the Feast of St. Lawrence. With a joyful heart, O Lord, my God, I give all to you. With a joyful heart. Where does this joy come from? It comes from the decision to give. It doesn't come from the suffering that might go along with it. It comes from the participation in the process by which God brings forth much fruit. That's what gives joy to the heart. It takes a champion like St. Lawrence to teach us this sometimes. Because the world tells us the way to joy is to get more things, to have more power, to have more pleasure, to be more impressive to the world. That's what will give you joy. No, it won't. No, it won't. Maybe for a moment. Maybe for a moment. But not lasting joy. Even winning a gold medal in the Olympics, which is a joyful event, it doesn't last. After a little while, people forget who you are, and you can't compete at that level anymore, and people will forget who you are. And the joy is a joyful memory. But what about now? This is the joy of the saints, and the joy of the followers of Jesus Christ, to be a giver, to be a lover, to be formed in the likeness of the real champion is Jesus Christ, the victor over death itself, to be formed in the likeness of Christ and to participate in his law of the gift, that is to share in his joy. So that's what we celebrate today with St. Lawrence. He's a gold medal winner, he's a champion, he's an inspiring example, even more inspiring than the gold medal winners in the Paris Olympics, because he shows us the joy that doesn't end, the joy of being like God, of joining with God, and of celebrating forever in the presence of God in heaven.